wanted to take the opportunity to show the results of the tests that were proposed in a committee with the Irrigation Association. It's called the SWAT Committee, and hopefully you're familiar with that, or I'll speak a little bit about it. The idea is to make a standard testing protocol which can be used to evaluate soil moisture sensors for their properties, and where we can derive a soil moisture controller that's good for particularly landscape and affecting the water conservation of and efficiency of those landscape controllers. However, the same information could be applied to crops and other applications. So this data was supplied by the Center for Irrigation Technology, that's the CIT with California State University Fresno, and who supplied personnel and equipment was supplied by Delta T devices from the UK, sensors and funding supplied by University of California, and the balance was supplied by Delta T and Dynamax. I just wanted to give you a little bit of a background about the portable moisture probes and where some of the current sensor technologies have been heading. There are many portable probes, an example being the ML2 using handheld readouts. There are many other examples from other manufacturers, and there are the profile type probes used in portable applications. Now, the same technology can be used in irrigation control, and I'd speak about that a little bit. The new conservation controllers with the smart water application technology methodology, that's called the SWAT method and the SWAT protocol, which is a part of the Irrigation Association definition of how to save money with new advanced controllers. So these are the two basic types. One might be soil moisture sensor based, which uses the feedback from the soil to regulate the timing and to regulate the application of valves and drip irrigation. And then we have ET controllers, which would use a variety of methods, perhaps historical or pre-programmed water use information, and then take ET from a weather station, a local weather station, that then regulates and adjusts the controller's timing to provide enough feedback to update the amount of water that should be applied in response to water needs. And that would regulate a timer that is attached to a radio device or a communication device, and then that will automatically adjust the irrigation. The old irrigation timers have no feedback. That's the older technology that would not be SMART or SWAT, as they call it. And these timers are open loop. In other words, it's not regulating anything based on the water need, nor is it regulating anything based on the water status. So here's a little bit about the moisture control theory, or any other control theory for that matter. We have a feedback system, and this is the feedback loop that we're talking about. And there's a controller, the C, and we have a process, that's the irrigation process. And it has an output, which would be Y, that would be your soil moisture, for example. And then we have a feedback that adjusts that up and down to respond to the requirements. And you may choose a set point, and then you can regulate your water accordingly. So the controller has to have certain characteristics. Also, the sensor has to have certain characteristics. The operation controller can have stability. It should have controllability and observability. If you can't meet those requirements, it's not going to operate properly. So sensor feedback is also essential, and sensors have their own problems. Soil moisture sensors, we're perhaps aware of too many of those problems and kept being repeated over and over. But nevertheless, these are problems that we want to avoid and be able to control or avoid that error in excess of the desired control function. And so we can get into that into more detail, but we don't really have that much time. I just wanted to kind of bring you up to speed on this. The closed-loop controllers have these advantages. We can have small disturbances either in the sensor or in the control loop somewhere. It might be electrical noise, it might be problems with where you place the sensor, and those types of things. We can overcome with a closed loop controller by adjusting our set point for small problems. And you can also have a guaranteed performance level. Even with a model that's not perfect, you can make adjustments just like you do when it's too cold in your house, you turn the temperature up. That's a set point controller. And these models may not match perfectly to the process, but we can still stabilize them, and we can design in reduced sensitivity to certain parameters that we can't control. We can filter out noise, we can average the functions, we can make adjustments to the installation of the sensors. And that'll give you improved tracking performance. Soil moisture control requirements that we're aware of. We have a typical chart here that describes soil types of the 11 sort of USDA standard soil types. Their wilting points in red, their stress points in yellow, or managed allowable depletion levels, and then we have our field capacities, the top of that line being the green. So these are the points that we're trying to manage. For example, 28% soil moisture volume, or 0.28, for a sandy clay loam soil type. And you can adjust your set point knowing the soil type, or vice versa. You can find out your soil type by what is the field capacity, either way. So what sensor accuracy do we need? Well, it's not going to be that difficult in clay soils if you have a wide range of or wide margin of perhaps about 10% allowable depletion. However, in sandy soils, that gets squeezed down to about 3%. Or less, or 7% or less. So the optimum soil moisture range is very small. That means our maximum allowable error must be very small, and that includes both the controller and the sensor. So if we design a sensor or have sensors that qualify by having much less error than what we're trying to control, for example, 1/4 of that we'll propose, then we might have a good controller and a good functioning irrigation control system. So the new moisture sensors that might have this capacity, this one is in particular undergoing test by the CIT, and it's called the SM200 soil moisture sensor. It has a lot of features that are good for this type of application as well as survey applications, and you can kind of see a list here. This is based on the FDR, that's the frequency domain reflectometry. That's the method that uses a high frequency signal and then looks at the signal as it comes back from the soil and determines what the dielectric constant of the soil is. So it's very similar to TDR in performance, but it doesn't require a sophisticated electronic device attached to it. It's all built into the sensor, and the technology allows that all the sensors are calibrated the same, and that's also built into the sensor. So here's a list of the claims. You can see the power and voltage outputs, the ranges that it would work with. And there's an additional set of specifications for temperature and salinity variability. And the test results, independent results, will show what is the actual performance in various soils. And here you can see the picture of the device used that was created for this test protocol. How it's being wetted up from the bottom, a moisture sensor installed approximately 4 inches from the top, and then a range of soils, fine, medium, and coarse, and a range of salinity levels applied to the water to determine the effects of higher salinity water and the effects of temperature. These are the three main factors that we wanted to look at, and that are designated by the protocol. So each test constitutes two replications, two chambers, two sensors, a logger, and periodic drying down and heating up cycles as defined by the protocol. So what would that show us? Well, it's going to show us a correlation between the simulator drying out and the sensor. It'll show us a correlation on a single installation, whether it's accurate enough for control purposes. And it'll show us if there are poor correlations. So let's get to some results. I'll move fairly quickly. This is just an overall showing all the data points and a general correlation, it's a correlation, not an actual calibration, because that covers all the soils. Now here we have a coarse soil showing a result there, a very good response. However, there is somewhat of an offset on all the soil, all the temperature and salinity results for coarse soil. Here's the medium texture soil, and I show a little bit of an overlay. The operating range of the irrigation should be in the MAD, that green range. But there's a lot more data taken to determine or establish the suitability of the sensor and the performance of it. Here are the results, all the salinity levels compared on medium soils, and so you can see actually four different regressions shown with all very high correlations and what we would say, have to say, is a very linear response to using the calibrations that are provided with the device. And we do see some shift in the curves, not something that hopefully we would be able to overcome in an actual application. And then here we have a response to temperature, and we show the data from freezing up to about 30 degrees C. And that, again, is in the medium textured soil. What do we really need, and what would be allowable is really proposed on this slide. We have the tighter requirements for sandy loam soil, and what we're proposing is that as the suggested range of acceptability be no variations over 1.25%, 2%, and 2.5%, depending on whether you were talking about the sandy loam up to clay soils. Those are the standard deviations that would be allowable, and this is an example of the data that was taken on that. I'll just move right on to the summary. Showing the regression results and 95% confidence limits on all the protocol tests averaged together. So there's a little bit of a variability. Overall, it's about plus or minus 1.13%. So we would conclude then that this type of sensor would be accurate enough for a water conservation controller solution, that these soil sensors are available, and that the smart water solutions may be successful with tested sensor. And we hope that that will meet the definition of that is provided for in the SWAT program requirements. And next step is to develop the protocol to actually tie this into a controller and determine the water efficiency and to be able to certify devices that will meet that those requirements. And we ask the question, will scientists agree to the improvements and will they discuss, and I'll ask you to do that, and to help standardize interpretations of these results and to finally determine how a protocol would be applied to other sensors such as water potential or water tension sensors. So thank you for your time, and are there any questions? I've raised a couple. Yes, sir. The interchangeability is a question, and each one of the test curves shows two sensors chosen at random on the same chart, so that in a way will indicate interchangeability.
Maybe.
yeah, but there is obviously going to be a variation between sensors. Each one of the I think there was a total of 23 soil boxes or 15 soil boxes, something like that. Each of those has two sensors chosen at random, so you're not repeating or reusing the same sensor over and over. Yes, Dr. Scott.
Mike, how many other companies have ordered their sensors to be tested using these procedures?
I believe that three of them have been submitted, and three are on standby, and there's a representative dig.
Yeah.
Is it three more companies or four more?
We have finished three and we have four more.
Okay. So there's a lot of work to do, a lot of data to interpret. And
is your standard procedure published?
The standard procedure is on the IAEA website, and it's called the Soil Sensor Testing Protocol, and there's a version 4, I believe, that was used for this, and then there's a version 5 that has been proposed to increase the range of soils. And, you know, any inputs are very welcome. The IAEA would, and myself and other manufacturers would like to have other inputs to improve the protocol. And there's been good suggestions to do that, and I think they're open towards that suggestion.
Is that just your IAEA.com,
I think.
Org.
Mm-hmm. There is a stack in the last two chairs there. If there anybody would like a copy to of this presentation to study the charts a little more, it's available.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.